You're tuned in to the Kojo Nam, the show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, children's books and how they're becoming more representative of their readers. But first, one specific novel. It's called The Day Tejan Got Shot. The story was written by 10 teen girls from D.C. It was released this spring. And joining me in studio to discuss it is Kathy Crutcher. She is the founder and executive director of Shoutmouse Press, which published The Day Tejan Got Shot. Kathy Crutcher, thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
Also in studio with me is Najee Purvis. She is a co-author of The Day Tejan Got Shot. She just finished 8th grade at DC Prep. Najee, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Are you a parent? What tools do you use to talk to your kids about police violence and other topics in the news? That's one of the things we'll be talking about. So you may want to start calling now, 800-433-8850. Kathy Crutcher, you oversaw the writing process for this book, which begins with the following dedication. This book is for all those who are going through loss and pain, who have protested, and who are sick and tired of what's going on. Could you give us a quick summary of the storyline?
Sure. So this book revolves around one central event, the shooting of Tejan. He is a 16-year-old black boy, unarmed at the time, and shot by a police officer. And when we began this book, we started with brainstorming all of the different characters who would be impacted by this event. So each writer chose a perspective of Tejan, of his parents, of his sister, his friends, the witness, but then also the perspective of the police officer and the police officer's teenage children who happened to go to the same school as Tejan. So once we finished that character brainstorming, we realized we had real potential for drama, but also real complexity to look at this incident from so many different angles.
And one of your writers is Najee Purvis. Najee, each of the chapters in this book is in the voice of a different person involved in the shooting. For example, as Kathy mentioned, the officer, the officer's kids, the witness. You wrote the chapters from the voices of two people, Bobby and Dwayne. Who is Bobby?
Bobby is the thug. He's the one that gets Tejan in trouble because Tejan was supposed to sell Bobby some weed so that Bobby could pay off his rent because it was overdue and he was about to get put out. And Bobby is a very angry person, and he shows everybody that he's very angry. He doesn't care about anything, but deep inside, he's a totally different person.
He has the reputation of being a thug, but deep inside, that's not exactly what he is. And who is Dwayne?
Dwayne is Bobby's father. Dwayne is like aggressive father. He really isn't a good father figure towards Tejan, but he wants to be better. But he's so used to the lifestyle of his father abusing his mother. So it's like he done developed something that his parents had did, but he wants to be better. He made a vow that he's going to be better than his father. But it's like he's always smoking. He's always drinking. So it's like it gets the best of him.
How old were you when you started working on this book?
I was 13.
At that point in your life, 13, how difficult was it for you as a girl to write in the voices of these adult male characters?
It was very hard, but it's like through my perspective and how I look at people, it really helped me to develop an outlook or maybe like to make me think, how did these events affect this type of person? Like, I just put myself in their shoes and I tried to think, well, maybe how did this man feel? Even though like I couldn't relate, I just tried my best to put myself in their shoes. But it was very hard. I just like when I'm in a car, I just look at people and I'm like, what made them want to do this now? Like, what's their backstory? I know it's a backstory to how they became this. So like that was what helped me, but it was hard.
Are you looking at me now and thinking about what my backstory is? It's very, very complicated. I can't tell you right now. But, Kathy, you are the founder and executive director of Shoutmouse Press, which published The Day Tejan Got Shot. What is the mission of the publishing house, and how does this book align with it?
Sure. So we are a nonprofit writing program and publishing house for unheard voices. So that means that we coach young people, usually from marginalized communities, to tell their own stories and in their own voices. And then we publish those as books. And we use the books then as platforms for leadership in their communities and to increase understanding of unheard perspectives. So this book was central to that mission. You know, we went in saying we wanted to give these teens a chance to explore in a deep and complex way the realities of their life.
Yeah, take us back to March of 2015.
Sure.
When you first began the book, how did you happen to begin working with these 10 teen DC girls who authored the book?
Sure. So we do all of our books in partnership with another nonprofit. Our nonprofit partner for this book is Beacon House. They are a community center in Edgewood in Northeast DC, and they provide academic and resources and activities for the kids in the neighborhood. So we were invited to come in and do a writing workshop. We'd actually done a novel with them before called Trinitoga that came out in 2014. But in March 2015, when we came in and asked the girls, okay, what is an issue that was powerful, is meaningful, that's really engaging with the realities of your life right now that we can write about? You know, March 2015 was a pretty turbulent time. It continues to be. But in the months leading up to that first day of workshop, there had been Ferguson. There had been the choking death of Eric Garner in New York. The shooting of Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old in Cleveland, who was shot on a playground for holding a toy gun. And that was really fresh in the minds of these young people and the Black Lives Matter conversation. And so when we asked that question, what came out was the idea to write a novel that put one of these shootings at the center.
800-433-8850. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Kathy Crutcher. She is the founder and executive director of Shout Mouse Press, which published The Day Tae-John Got Shot. Also in studio with us is Najee Purvis. She is a co-author of the book. She just finished eighth grade at DC Prep. 800-433-8850. Are you a young person? How do you express your thoughts about current events? Have you participated in local protests against police violence? Tell us about your experience. Do you think the media covered them accurately? You can also send us a tweet at Kojo Show. You can go to email to kojo@wamu.org or go to our website, kojoshow.org, ask a question or make a comment there. Najee, what did you think of at first of the idea of writing about a police shooting of a young black man?
At first, I kind of thought it was, like, impossible to write about because none of us really experienced, like, having to deal with the white officer. So, it was, like, very hard because, like, we had to just go on what we see. You know, like, what you see is not always true. So, it was very hard.
Were you surprised, Kathy Crutcher, by the fact that these young girls were so interested and involved in what was happening around the nation? Usually at that age, you think young people are interested more in what's happening in their neighborhoods than anything
sure.
else. But this was a national and indeed many would argue an international concern.
That's right. And as Najee said, the girls in the workshop had not directly experienced this specific kind of an incident, but they certainly experienced the kinds of tension between their community and the police. And so I think they were using part of that. You know, I have to say it was really interesting. They got really excited brainstorming about the characters. And then once we had finished that, one writer said, you know, I don't think we should do this. I was like, okay, how come? And she said, well, what if people think we're racist? Like, is anybody going to think we're going to be able to write about this fairly? And that opened up a really important and powerful conversation about, like, yeah, okay, well, how do we talk about this fairly? And what came from that is really, like, the ethos of the book. And I think the ethos of the girls is, like, they decided this is not going to be a book that's just the good guys versus the bad guys. We're going to give every character goodness, and we're going to give every character weakness, even ugliness. And we're going to explore the backstory to see how they got there. And that's really one of Najee's strengths that she brought to
this
book.
I mean, the first thing apparently they decided to do was to avoid stereotypes of any kind of all of the individuals, which is impressive enough as it is. But Najee, Did you learn anything from writing this book? Did your understanding of police violence change at all as a result of this?
Yeah, kind of, but I would say I wouldn't necessarily didn't learn, but I feel like the way of understanding, like, behind backstory and stereotypes, I would say I already knew that because, like, coming in the story, like, I'm the one that, like, came up with the idea to, like, say, that's, like, because I wrote about bad guys. You know, Dwayne's a bad father and Bobby's a thug. And, like, they were telling me how I should just write about them being bad. But I was like, no, I don't want them to be bad. So, like, I'm going to make a backstory on, like, how his life was good at first, but, like, these events in his life made him become who he is. And it's, like, I feel like me, like, writing from my perspective and having him have a backstory is going to change or impact others.
Why did you want him to have a backstory? Is that because, as you said, you observe people and you realize that what people show superficially may not always be what they really are in the background?
Yeah, because, like, today in society, like, people are so quick to judge. Like, people would just say, oh, he's bad, oh, and just side with everybody else because that's what everybody else thinks. But I just feel like people should just learn the history and the background. So, like, that's just important. Like, don't just look at somebody and judge them. But, like, try to dig deeper because that what you think may not really be true. Or, like, what you think may be for a good reason or something. So,
Kathy, did any of the other 9 authors express to you how their perspectives might have been affected, reinforced, or changed as a result of this project?
Yeah, some of the other authors said that they became more engaged in the news because they felt connected to it, because they were weekly, daily, trying to put themselves in the shoes of people who were impacted by these events. So, you know, sadly, as we were writing, it continued to happen. So every time that there was a new incident, a new shooting, we would bring in the news stories from that and look at those. And if someone was writing the mother of the character, the mother of the victim, then they might watch a video of an interview with that mother to inform their own writing of that character, for example.
Najee, talk about patience and the writing process. How did this story go from an idea in your head to the final published book that it is now, because it's taken all of 2 years for that to happen? And I know that when I was your age, 2 years seemed like a lifetime to me, like it would never, ever end.
Yeah, it took a lot of patience because, like, going through every day, and it's like, what you write may not always be, like, what you could say. Like, you have to, like, take every detail and then, like, expand your ideas, but then your ideas may not, like, come out like you wanted to, so then you gotta break it up again, and just, like, it take a lot of patience because, like, it's just hard writing a book because, like, you can't just publish anything. So, like, it took a lot of time to, like, think things through, and then sometimes I would, like, make this story and be like, I'm done, but then I'd be like, once I read it, I'll go back and be like, no, I have to fix this. But then we had to also think about, we're connected to other authors, so we had to change some stuff to make sure it all connects and came together. So it takes a lot of patience to make sure, like, everybody's stories is connected, but also that yours is, like, completely done and ready to be published.
Oops. Yeah, that's what I go through every day. I'm done. Then you look at it a second time and say, well, no, I'm not quite done. I need to do this some more. Same question to you, essentially, Kathy. How did this book go through that 2-year process from an idea in the heads of these young women to the final published book that it is now?
Well, I always say this is our most ambitious project for many reasons, not just the subject matter, which is obviously very complex, but the structure of it, as Najee was referencing. You know, we wanted to give each author agency in devising her own character and the own pathway for that character. But they all had to compromise and collaborate and form one coherent master story. So we had entire writing sessions that would sometimes just be a debate.
This was a test of everybody's patience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will talk to an individual who's responsible for many of the photographs that you will see in the book, The Day Tejan Got Shot. I'm Kojo Nandi.
Hi, it's Diane. The next meeting of my book club is on Wednesday, May 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll host a discussion of Mad Honey by Jodi Picco and Jennifer Finney Boylan, followed by a conversation with the authors. Find out more and register at dianereem.org/bookclub.
Welcome back. We're talking about the published book, The Day Tae John Got Shot, with Kathy Crutcher. She is the founder and executive director of Shout Mouse Press, which published the book. We're also talking with Najee Purvis. She is a co-author of the book. She just finished eighth grade at DC Prep. And joining us now by phone is Amir Price. He is a DC native who just finished his sophomore year at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. His photographs of the Baltimore protests following the death of Freddie Gray are included in The Day Tae John Got Shot. Amir Price, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You were 18 years old and living here in D.C. when you headed to Baltimore in April of 2015 with your camera and a friend to capture the protests following the death of Freddie Gray, a black man who died from spinal injuries after being transported by police. Tell us what happened that day to cause you to end up in Baltimore.
Yeah, so I was in D.C. and my friend texted me. He's a videographer, and I'm photographer, and so he said, hey, we should go to Baltimore to photograph and film the events that are happening there, and so long story short, we ended up going there.
Not long story short. Short story long, because he said that to you quite casually and your mother was of a slightly different opinion, right?
Yeah, so at that time, there had been a decent amount going on in the news with Trayvon Martin, and then more recently Freddie Gray in Baltimore. And so I hadn't really been following it a whole lot, but my friend, Orlando, he had been. And so he texted me, he said we should go to Baltimore to, film and photograph the events. And so I didn't really know what was going on there, but I said, sure, why not? And so I let my mom know that we were going to head to Baltimore. And at first she was okay with it. I guess she hadn't really been following it. She just knew that, people were protesting and that sort of thing, and she thought that's what we were going to photograph and videograph. But then she spoke with a neighbor who keeps up on the news, who watches TV a lot, and she, after she spoke with the neighbor, she called me back and she was like, hey, Amir, the events in Baltimore are, getting pretty violent. I don't think that you should go there. And so me being the wonderful son that I was, I decided to say, okay, we're going to stay in D.C. and go to downtown D.C. and not go to Baltimore. But then, we decided to go to Baltimore anyways because we were, teenagers. That's what we do.
And no, you lied. That's what you did. We were teenagers. Yeah. That's what we do. But listeners can find a slideshow of your photographs from the Freddie Gray protests on our website at kojoshow.org. But can you describe those photographs for us? What did you capture on that day?
Yes, so that was one of the most powerful experiences that I've had, I think, so far in my life, just being able to witness everything that was happening. When we arrived there, the CV, this was the day that things like started to really get more out of control. We arrived to the CVS on fire. There was a cop car that all the doors were open and the windows were smashed. There were people running around throwing things, people protesting. And then as we got closer to the CVS, we saw there was a line of police officers just standing there. And it was interesting to see the progression of events over the about, I think, maybe 4 or 5 hours that we were there into the night, just seeing how things changed. And the most impactful part to me was just seeing when I came back from Baltimore and I went over to a friend's house and I was watching the events that happened on the news, it was just interesting to see how things were portrayed by the media and compared to what actually happened. Because, of course, there were people throwing things, there were people angry, there were people, breaking things, lighting things on fire. But that wasn't all that happened. It was intriguing, and some of this is shown in the photographs. My friend also made a video called The Baltimore Riots, What You Didn't See on the News, and it just shows different aspects of it. It shows both sides, and I think that that was powerful because it wasn't just people rioting. It was also, there was a pastor there who was praying over the police. At one point, a group of a group from the Nation of Islam came down, and about 30 men, all wearing suits and bow ties, came over, and they were just marching and trying to get people to be peaceful. Another local Baltimore organization, I think called 300 Black Men or something along those lines, they were there trying to calm people down. There were people outside picking up trash, and then at one point, the Congress member was there, as well as other community leaders, and they were, you know, communicating with the police officers to try to help them get to a fire that they could put out. But none of that was shown on the news. It was only people, you know, these angry young Black people throwing things at the police, being violent.
The congressman in this case would have been Elijah Cummings?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's Elijah Cummings. That was his. That is his neighborhood. How did seeing the protest through your own eyes and through your camera lens change your own understanding of the Black Lives Matter movement?
I think that it was just a good opportunity for me to see that it is important for people to listen to local voices and listen to the people who are actually there, and not only get their news from, you know, like the major news organizations. And so I think that it's important. This is something that I really started to understand later afterwards, was just like the importance of the work that I was through at the time I was working with the organization Critical Exposure, the work that organizations like that and Shoutmouse Press and Beacon House, the work that they do to make sure that the voices of the people in the community are being able to be spread. So, for example, through the book, The Day Tejan Got Shot, is able to share the perspectives and the understandings of these people who are, you know, who have different perspectives than other people. So I think that it's important to understand that there isn't just one perspective and to listen to everyone.
Allow me to go to the phones. Here is Ronnie in Germantown, Maryland. Ronnie, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo Namdi. Thank you. First, I want to say to Najee and Kathy, and this is coming from, I'm an educator and counselor, and I just want to thank you and keep encouraging you to do the work that you're doing. Najee, I am, my heart is just jumping for joy in listening to you and listening to you have going through the writing process and being able to really reflect on how you look at people. And I encourage you to keep observing and keep witnessing and examining the complexities of people and what that means, because your work and what you're doing is going to help continually open up conversations, and that's what we need, to open up conversations, to help open up people's minds. Kathy, thank you for what you're doing. This is important work, and I don't know, you may know by now, but I don't know if you realize you're going far beyond the writing process, and as important as that is to help young people express themselves in through language, which is extremely important with all of the various traumas we all have suffered, collective and individual, that language is extremely important, but you're also taking them through growing their social emotional understanding and intelligence, as well as empathy, which is going to continually add to the positiveness of conversation.
Jeez, I wish I'd have said that. That's very, very good, Ronnie. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you so much.
But it raises the question, Najee, do you plan on continuing to write?
Yeah.
You say that kind of tentatively, I mean, kind of like you're not sure.
I mean, I want to, like, but I don't know yet.
Well, you're young enough so that you can have a lot of career options open to you. That could be just one of them. But it also raises the question with you, Kathy. The Day Tejan Got Shot is one of many books from Shoutmouse Press from young authors. Why is it important that we not only have books for children, but also by children?
Oh, because there's such power in learning from our peers. I think that when young people pick up a book and see that it is written by someone like them, that looks like them, that's their age, that's coming from the same place, it has an impact that there's no way that any other adult authored book could possibly have. And so we're all about not just the writing process, but also empowering leadership, peer-to-peer kind of leadership.
Here's a good one. We got an email for Najee. What books do you read, and what books are your fellow writers on this project reading? What kind of books do you like to read?
Like the genre or like name books?
Either or, genre first.
I like books on social issues and personal people. Like, I like books like on perspective and like people enter them. Like, I want to know like the backstory. Like, just like, I like backstories because like that's one thing that like I can't stand is like when people don't know the backstory. So I like to read about people's backstories and like just like books with mysteries and a lot of plot.
I'd like to go to Amir Price. Amir, just last week, a jury acquitted the police officer who shot and killed Philando Castile, a black man from Minnesota. That verdict sparked protests in the St. Paul area. What do you think this book adds to the ongoing conversation about police violence and the Black Lives Matter movement?
So I think that it's a important and good reminder that these sorts of things are still going on, and oftentimes it's easy to forget because, you know, it just happens like once every few months some big case comes out. But having a book that's authored, that fictional book that's authored by, you know, young teens shows that this isn't just something that happens and then people forget about it. It's something that people live with daily, and it shows their perspective and their ability to get out how they feel about it. So I think that it's a good sort of constant reminder and a conversation starter about those sorts of issues without having to deal with, you know, the graphic nature of the what's actually going on and having the breaks in between them.
And we're almost out of time, but this question both for you, Najee, and for you, Kathy, and that is, this was a group effort. You were writing with 9 other girls from D.C. What was it like to write a story with other people? Was it sometimes difficult or not at all?
It was sometimes difficult because, like, we all are, like, totally different. Like, we were, like, different ages, and some were even in different grades. But, like, we were still all teenagers, but we're very different from each other. And, like, it was a lot of arguments on, like, what we should do. Like it was arguments about my characters because they wanted my characters to be bad, but I was like, no. And then they were like, it was just many arguments on like how we should make the plot, how we should connect every single character, and like who we should make who. And like they wanted to, sometimes it was some people that wanted to put characters in a category, some that didn't, but we all came together and thought like, don't put the characters in a category. But it was very difficult to come to that conclusion because like we all just had different ideas. Mm-hmm.
This was a very adult experience in very many ways because you look at the writers who have to collaborate on writing your average TV show and they have the same kinds of arguments that these young people were having. What kind of process was it for you as a publisher?
I will repeat, the most ambitious project we've ever taken on. To speak to the first caller's comment that this was not just a project that engaged these young people in writing and in improving their writing skills. They had to really work on their compromise and collaboration skills because sometimes a writer would get excited about a scene and write a scene that then didn't fit with the rest of the plot line. And so it had to go. And that was hard to give that up. So that's a very real lesson for artists, though. And we were always talking to them as professionals. So this is what happens when people are coming together to create a piece of art. There are things that end up on the cutting room floor. And it doesn't always mean that because they're not great pieces. It's just they don't fit together.
Learn how to handle rejection early. That's one of the things you got to do. Final question for you, Najee. What do you hope that people who read this book take away from it?
I hope they take away that young people have a voice and we can have an opinion on things and we can like handle these social issues and we can take it on ourselves. Like me personally, like I didn't really think about like a lot of social issues, but like now that I wrote this book, like it really made me think that like I do have a voice and like people read this book and tell me, wow, how did you do this? Like, it really helps me. I mean, not help me, but it really tells me that, like, I have a voice now. Like, it really shows how me writing this book affected others and how my voice and my outlook on the world.
Well, thanks to you and all of your other 9 colleagues. Amir Price, are you sticking up photography as a career or is it simply merely a hobby for you at this point?
It is a hobby, but one that I deeply enjoy.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck to you. Amir Price is a D.C. native. He just finished his sophomore year at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. His photographs of the Baltimore protests following the death of Freddie Gray are included in the day Tejan got shot, and you can see some of them at our website, kojoshow.org. Kathy Crutcher is the founder and executive director of Shout Mouse Press, which published the day Tejan got shot. Thank you for joining us.
I was thrilled to be here. Thank you.
And Najee Purvis is co-author of the book. She just finished eighth grade at D.C. Prep. Thank you for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, children's books and how they're becoming more representative of their readers. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.